Good morning. It is time to get up with a Brooklyn bombshell, Woj, with the very latest on the decision that will reshape the entire NBA in the next 6 days. Meanwhile, one of Gronk's former teammates is going to tell you he really is done. Does that mean no more Super Bowls for Tampa Tom? And then, how about this decision? Lamar, Burrow, head-to-head, who you got? And what if the answer is neither? Oh, it's going to be tricky. And we're getting up with you on this Thursday, and it starts right now. And look at this. There's a whole lot of handsome work in here. I got Graziano. Chris Canty is blocking out the whole view of the studio. All right, over there. We got P.K. Subban. It's a bit much. It's just a show. P.K. Subban is ready to go. We got controversy in the hockey, and that's not all. It's NBA draft night tonight. Rudnicko is ready to go. Woj is ready to go. Windy is ready to go. Chiney will be here. Here we go. We'll be coming your way. And let's start it now with the controversy in the NHL. P.K. Subban, here we go. Game 4, Stanley Cup Final. Avs and Lightning pick it up midway through the second period. We are tied at 1. And Victor Hedman, all by himself, is going to untie it.
Yeah, Victor Hedman, this guy's up for the Norris Trophy. Obviously didn't win it, but he's got Norris Trophy caliber, and he's got the ability to make plays like this. This is the Stanley Cup Finals. You need your big players to step up and play big. He had a great game yesterday.
That gave the Lightning a 2-1 lead. Early third, same score. Darren Helm from the blue line. Then we got the scrum in front of the net, and they score.
Yeah, depth players. Darren Helm making a big play. They knew that they had to get to Vasilevsky and force him to make second and third saves. He's only human.
So then we go to overtime, tied at 2. We're just over 8 minutes left in overtime, and here comes the controversy. Boy. First, we'll show you the goal. They do beat Vasilevsky.
I mean, Nazem Kadri makes an amazing play here, going underneath the stick of Sergachev and then underneath the arm of Vasilevsky. That's a tough save for him to make. Kadri's been all world for Colorado since coming over. Huge acquisition bringing him in, but obviously getting him back in the lineup. Huge for
so they win 3-2, but wait, there's more.
I know.
Count the men on the ice, PK.
Listen to me. The moment that the goal went in, I get a message from Stephen A. saying, I told you so, I told you so. Hang on, Stephen A. 6 guys on the ice. I don't know. Listen, there are 6 guys on the ice. I don't think that this really impacted the game necessarily or the goal on this play, but there were 6 guys on the ice.
Look, the impact is one thing. Let's hear the sound before we dive into this, because okay. After the game, there was a side of confusion with the controversy.
This one's going to sting much more than others, just because I think it was taken on, it was potentially, I don't know. It's hard for me. This is going to be hard for me to speak. I'm going to have to speak. I'll speak with you tomorrow. You're going to see what I mean when you see the winning goal. And my heart breaks for the players, because we probably still should be playing.
And I'm not quite sure, you know, what he was really, what he's thinking, why it shouldn't have counted. I mean, that kind of confuses me a little bit. You know, the puck hit the back of the net. End of story.
Well, it really isn't the end of the story, is it? At the end of the day, I was talking to Chris Canty about this earlier. In football, when the guy is running off the field and the quarterback sees it and he snaps it, they call it a penalty even if he has nothing to do with the play. For the folks who don't follow the hockey as closely, is that usually called?
Listen, it's too many men on the ice, but it's hard to nitpick. I think the puck was already all the way down the ice. It was a stretch play that came up. It came up the other side of the rink. I don't think anybody saw it. Obviously, when the goal was replayed, everybody saw there were 6 people on the ice. I don't think this really impacted the game as far as the ending goal. Listen, Tampa was up 2-1 in this game. You know, they blew a lead at home. You go to overtime, anything can happen. These are the bounces that you need to win the Stanley Cup. And it's a tough break for them. Obviously, I'm sure they want that call. There's a lot of calls I'm sure they wanted in this game. I mean, they have a reason to be upset about it. You just lost a huge game at home, possibly a game that's going to cost you the Stanley Cup. So I understand that. But give Colorado credit. They battled hard. They came back in this game multiple times. They stuck with it. They battled through adversity, and now they're 3-1 going home.
We'll talk more about this as we go. I just want to show you the statement from NHL Hockey Operations, because obviously this was a topic of huge conversation afterwards. Yeah. They said they met with the 4 officials, In discussing it, each of the four officials advised they did not see a too many men on the ice situation, and that call is not subject to video review either by hockey ops or on ice officials. We'll talk much more about this as we go. Obviously, it is a side of controversy to go with the cup last night in a game that very well could wind up deciding everything. Stay close, PK. I'm coming back to that. In the meantime, tonight is the NBA draft, and then next week might be the biggest day of them all. Kyrie Irving has until June 29th to decide whether or not he will opt out of his contract with the Nets and become a free agent. His running mate, Kevin Durant, is under contract through 2026, and the pair have been inextricably linked since forming their partnership in 2019. So this gets interestinger and interestinger. And speaking of interesting, oh, there you are. Chris Canty is over here. Brian Windhorst and Woj are with us here again today with the draft coming up tonight. Woj, you had a big story yesterday. For those who haven't seen it, what is the very latest on Kyrie, KD, and the Nets?
Well, Greeny, listen, obviously Kyrie Irving has until the middle of next week to decide on that player option in his contract. Now, just because he opts out of the deal doesn't necessarily mean he's leaving the Nets. He can still negotiate an extension. He can actually negotiate a higher number than the $36 million that he's owed if he opts in. And listen, his options are limited in the marketplace. The Lakers, the Knicks are certainly focuses for him. But all the Lakers could offer him is their $6 million exemption. So he'd have to be willing to take as much as a $36 million pay cut for next year to leave Brooklyn. And essentially, the Nets want to do a shorter deal with Kyrie Irving, something that gives them protections based on perhaps games played. He has not played and nor been available as much as they would, of course, liked him to have been the last couple of years. Kyrie Irving wants a long-term max contract, and certainly, you know, a big part of this decision, these negotiations, are built around how it impacts Kevin Durant. He wants Kyrie Irving back. He understands that with him and with a healthy team, this is still a championship contender. And the Nets do have concern, and rightfully so, that if Kyrie Irving leaves, would Kevin Durant ask for a trade? And with 4 years left on his deal, certainly, he is committed to the team. He signed long term. But also, listen, there's some concern if you're Kyrie Irving also that the fatigue that others have felt around him and the drama that has surrounded him, you know, that at some point Kevin Durant can feel some of that fatigue too. But it is a line the Nets are trying to walk this week to get a deal done with Kyrie Irving, find some common ground there that keeps this team together and does not put them in a position where potentially, you know, Kevin Durant's desire to be there becomes questioned.
It is so fascinating, guys, because, I mean, speaking of a league filled with drama, the Nets, who are the co-favorites, according to Vegas, to win the Eastern Conference next year, could also just get blown up as we know them in the next week. Those are the two different sides of the pendulum on this thing here. And, Wendy, you and I were talking on the phone this morning. If indeed, let's just live in a world where Kyrie were to entertain becoming an unrestricted free agent, some might think, oh my goodness, teams would be knocking down his door. The whole league will come running to try and get a player of that caliber. But we understand all the question marks that come with him. So what would that look like?
NBA fans, listen up. You've got to try Pick 6, the newest fantasy app from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Getting started is simple. Select if a player will have more or less of a stat. For example, will a player have more than one rebound, or will a player have less than 3.5 assists? Pick your favorite players and compete for huge cash prizes. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now using code PARLAY and take on the competition with your best NBA player picks. Only on DraftKings Pick 6 with code PARLAY. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date lists of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Delicious, meat nutritious, and the snack that packs a real protein punch. Wonderful pistachios, one of the highest protein nuts out there. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, giving you over 10% of your daily value. Wonderful pistachios also come in a variety of flavors and sizes, perfect for enjoying with family and friends or taking them with you on the go. And you're on the go a lot, taking the kids to school, hopping from meeting to meeting, shopping for groceries. Well, the good news is, not only are Wonderful pistachios a complete protein, providing all 9 essential amino acids, they're also great for all your adventures. So whether you're a pistachio purist who loves cracking open every nut, or you prefer the convenience of no-shells pistachios, Wonderful Pistachios has got you covered. Grab Wonderful Pistachios and elevate your snacking game today. Visit WonderfulPistachios.com to learn more.
So as far as I can tell, as I, you know, talk to people around the league, there's no teams making moves right now to try to clear space, to try to make a path to give Kyrie Irving a big contract. The team at the top of that list would be the New York Knicks, and they are investigating making moves to get a point guard, but it's either trading up to try to draft Jaden Ivey or clearing additional room to go after Jalen Brunson in free agency next week. It is not Kyrie Irving at the top of their wish list. You know, when the Nets decided to take this path, they were aware of Kyrie Irving's statements at the end of the season, which is he planned to be back in Brooklyn. They realized that that's what his choice is. The rest of the league heard that too. They know that Kyrie's intentions in looking elsewhere is really to apply pressure to the Nets, not that he wants to leave anywhere. So this really may come down to Kyrie's willingness to actually opt out and to try to canvass the market, to show up in Los Angeles on June 30th, to, you know, hint that he wants to be a Laker or something like that. But really, the Nets are taking a calculated risk. They knew that there was a worry with Durant. None of this has taken them by surprise. They're trying to play their leverage. Kyrie's trying to play his.
Yeah, I mean, what an endlessly fascinating situation. Chris Canty, you host the radio show Coast to Coast and are very attuned particularly to the situation here in New York. Thus, Brooklyn, what is your perspective on all of this? It is endless drama. I'm not sure exactly where it's going to wind up.
Well, Greeny, I find it awfully ironic that we're talking about Kevin Durant, who left an ideal basketball situation to come to Brooklyn.
Yeah.
And now Kyrie potentially leaving an ideal situation, playing alongside one of the top three players in the league, and also having the benefit of playing for a franchise he grew up rooting for in his own backyard. So that to me is fascinating. But when you peel back the layers on this, I'm not sure that there's going to be another opportunity out there that's going to offer Kyrie the chance to play for a championship contender. When you think about the possibilities of going to the Lakers, it just seems like from a practical standpoint, there are too many hurdles for that job to actually get done. And so when I look at it, it seems like it's all a ploy for Kyrie Irving to exercise some degree of leverage over the Brooklyn Nets in order to get a contract extension that gives him the years that he wants without the stipulations. And I just don't think the Nets are going to get it to him. But what works in the Nets' favor is I don't think anybody else around the NBA is going to offer it to him as well.
Quickly, Woj, and again, you talk to literally everyone around the league every single day. Do people generally expect that Kyrie Irving will be back with the Nets next year one way or the other?
I think people do expect that Kyrie Irving returns just based on the economics of it and how big of a financial hit Kyrie Irving would have to take to leave. But, you know, he probably also surprised a lot of people with his willingness to lose $17 million last year in salary because he wouldn't get vaccinated. So there is precedent for him for leaving money on the table, but this is a lot of money. He also is losing a significant shoe deal, signature shoe deal. So as Chris said, Brian said, this is certainly very much of a leverage play. And Brooklyn knew when they entered into this and were not willing to go with a long max deal that Kyrie Irving could walk. And on some level, obviously, they have to be prepared for that fact. And so this will play out here in the next several days between the Nets and Kyrie Irving.
Now, that deadline is next Wednesday. The NBA draft is tonight. We have much more. Guys, all of you stay close. We have much more basketball as we continue. But coming up next to the NFL we go. Are you convinced that Gronk is coming back? Think again. One of his closest teammates and friends will explain why this really might be it for Tom Brady's favorite target. Plus, how about this decision? Lamar, Burrow, head-to-head, who you got? And what if the answer is neither? We're talking about it. It's Get Up on ESPN.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
We are back on Get Up. Chris Canty and Dan Graziano are here. Guys, I just want you to watch just the unbridled chaos that is taking place here in this little T-ball game. That kid hits the ball that way, then runs the wrong way. Now, those kids are fighting over it, and I just want you to watch what happens when the kid throws the ball. Oh!
Now, here's the thing, Greedy. Is it bad form to laugh at it? I mean, they're little kids. You can't be critical of them, but at the same time, it's funny. So what do you do? That's a tough spot to be in.
It's tough. I mean, look, coaching T-ball is brutal. All you really hope is that no one gets hurt, and now you've even failed that test.
That's correct.
Over the ball. Just a total disaster of a day out there.
The one thing that can't possibly happen has happened. I like the kids in a scrum over the ball. Let's just watch the kid get hit one more time. I'm sorry.
Oh, that's nice.
Okay, I'm sorry. Let's just move on.
I feel
on.
Guilty for watching.
I know, me too. Yeah. On we go. In the NFL, we got Rob Gronkowski. We have learned this week that he is retiring once again. He played 11 seasons with his longtime quarterback Tom Brady, 9 of them in New England, 2 of them in Tampa Bay. And basically everyone that we've had on, including his own agent since the announcement of this retirement, has suggested, he just doesn't feel like going to training camp. Oh, he's definitely coming back. But hold everything. Because none of them played with him and considers him to be a pretty close friend. But Rob Ninkovich does. And, Nico, you see it differently. How do you see it?
Yeah, I think that this is more permanent. I don't see Rob coming back. I really don't. I think at this point this is a different feel as opposed to the last time he retired. There was a lot of things going on. He wasn't feeling great. He took a year off. He came back. He won another Super Bowl playing with Tom Brady. And think of it this way. Rob has accomplished more than any other tight end in history, and Rob has done more in his career than anyone else in history. Literally, he's the greatest tight end of all time. So with those 4 Super Bowl rings, with everything that he's accomplished, he doesn't have to continue to play. His body, he's already been through it. He's had the surgeries. He's done everything that you could possibly think of, and the spiking and all the great touchdown catches and all the celebration. On the flip side of that, he's also dealing with things. He's had to have a bunch of surgeries. He's had his back worked on. He's had his knee done. He's had his ankle done. He's had a lot of things off the field that you don't see as a fan. So I really do think that Rob is going to walk away, and I don't see him coming back.
So let's live in a world where that happens. And again, Nico knows him way better than all the rest of us put together. So when he speaks on this, I listen. Let's talk about the impact that has Chris Canty on the Buccaneers. They're thinking Super Bowl thoughts. Brady didn't come back to try and, win a playoff game. He came back to try and win a championship. How significant is the impact of the departure of Gronkowski, in your opinion, to their chances?
Well, it's huge because the Tampa Bay Bucs don't have an inline tight end that has any experience. Cameron Brate is more of a you guy. You move him around. You move him off the ball. Sometimes line him up in the backfield. They drafted 2 tight ends in the middle rounds, and they signed 2 college free agents at the tight end position. So that's the inexperience that they're walking into training camp in the regular season with right now at that particular position. But why it matters is because how good Tampa is in the red zone. Tampa was 2nd in red zone efficiency last year, and a big part of that was their tight ends. No team targeted tight ends in the end zone more than the Tampa Bay Buccaneers last year. Rob Gronkowski four of his six touchdowns last year were in the red zone. Mm-hmm. So they need to be able to have that red zone threat. But then beyond that, they also have to have a tight end that can be an instrumental part of the run game. And I think that could be one of the huge areas where they miss Rob Gronkowski.
Gross?
Yeah, they'll miss him in a number of ways. I will say this, you know, in terms of the red zone, Mike Evans is still there, maybe one of the better red zone targets at the wide receiver position in the whole league, right? And this is, I think it's less damaging than it would have been 2 years ago because Brady's had a couple years with these other guys and he knows how he can use them. But it's another reason to wonder about this Tampa Bay team and are the losses too much, right? I mean, Byron Leftwich is the offensive coordinator, but it's going to be his show now, right, with Bruce Arians stepping aside and Todd Bowles, the defensive coach, taking over as head coach. So that's a big test for him. He's lost a couple guys, Godwin coming off an injury. They've got some losses on the offensive line, on the defensive side of the ball. So at what point is it too many for them to overcome and maintain those Super Bowl expectations?
Now, the NFC is a weird place, right? I mean, he loses his favorite target, and Rodgers loses his favorite target. It's going to be interesting. And Nico has more thoughts on this. I want to bookmark because as far as the place that Gronkowski occupies in the history of the sport, he really may be the last of a breed. We're going to talk about that as we continue. But, oh, by the way, the NBA draft is tonight, 8 o'clock Eastern. You see the countdown on your screen. And this year's class is headlined by a consensus top three players. It's Auburn's Jabari Smith Jr., it's Gonzaga's Chet Holmgren, and it's Duke's Paolo Banchero. Rounding out the top five in ESPN's latest mock are Purdue's Jaden Ivey and Iowa's Keegan Murray. I want to bring in my Uncle Seth. Seth Greenberg, no relation. We'll play a game that we'll call Reminds Me Of. Let's figure out who it is these players remind us of, Seth. When people say Jabari Smith, who does that remind us of?
It runs with Kevin Durant. You're talking about 6'10", 7'1", wingspan, an elite jump shooter. Can play in isolations, 40% three-point shooter, can beat you off the bounce. You can even put him in a ball screen, but he's really good in isos, especially off the elbow. And an elite defender, and that's where he is. He's a two-way player that can flat-out score the basketball. Impact player.
Let's go to Chet Holmgren next. Who does he remind us of?
Dirk Nowitzki. You're talking about a 7-footer, 7'6" wingspan, but there, right there, the little step back fade right there, a la Nowitzki. You're talking about a guy that can shoot the three, extremely skilled, a little light in the hips. He's got to develop his lower body, but his skill set is undeniable. He can drive from the elbow, and he's going to impact the game defensively. A lot of Dirk Nowitzki in Chet Holmgren.
And then everyone in New York is talking about Jaden Ivey. Who does he remind us of?
He's got a little John Morant. He's got a little Russell Westbrook in his game. You're talking about an explosive player in transition, an explosive player, and not a good finisher, but a great finisher at the rim. Can play through contact, does a great job of changing speeds, changing direction, explosive off the bounce. Not a great defender, but offensively, he is fit for the NBA. With NBA spacing, his speed, his athleticism, his ability to change speeds and direction, John Morant, Russell Westbrook.
All right, I love it. So let's make it as simple as this. If you had to bet on one player in this class that you think elevates a franchise, which is that player?
It's going to be Jabari Smith, and I think he's going to Orlando. I know what everyone's saying, but I think he's going to go to Orlando. And I think why? Because not only does he do it offensively, but he can do it defensively. And the Orlando Magic, they need to change their culture, change their identity. They've developed or drafted players, but not two-way players. They need some toughness, some physicality, and some guys that can play both sides of the floor. Jabari Smith can score it, he can shoot it from the three, and he can be a lockdown defender at multiple positions, switching 1 through 5.
I hope that's clear what you're seeing on your screen, and that's what Seth was referencing when he said, I know what people are saying. Overnight, the odds shifted significantly. Yesterday, Jabari Smith was the favorite to go number one. Now, Paolo Banchero is the favorite to go number one. We will all find out together tonight. Uncle Seth, thank you as always. The draft is tonight for Barclays in Brooklyn, and barring a trade, the Magic will pick first, then OKC, then Houston. It's 8 Eastern on ABC and ESPN and ESPN Radio and the ESPN app. Coverage starts 7:30 Eastern time. All right, coming up, Brian Windhorst is coming back. He'll tell you the one thing Kyrie could do this summer that would send the Nets into a complete panic. You'll hear what that is next.
We are back, and Jay Williams is in our studio, and we're going to play a little game called Shoot the Jay. Jay, will the Warriors win another championship next year?
I have them as one of my favorites to win a championship next year. I think returning their core is pivotal. Obviously, look, even if you can't get Kevon Looney, I think there are other pieces like JaVale McGee that are available. But if you keep that core intact with Wiggins and Jordan Poole, extend them, their run is for another 2 or 3 years.
All right, interesting. The next stop will be L.A. What is the biggest question the Lakers have to answer this offseason?
Who are the pieces that you're going to surround LeBron James, AD, and Russell Westbrook with that can defensively take on a huge load and also provide shooting? I do like the thoughts of a PJ Tucker that can kind of provide both. I think that's something that you could potentially see go down for the Lakers, but those ancillary pieces are critical.
It brings that toughness, too, that sometimes you felt like this team could use. And then, obviously, the really big one right across the river behind us in Brooklyn. Is Kyrie Irving going to opt out of his deal with the Nets?
I think when it's all said and done, Greeny, these two are going to play together. They look at each other as equals. It is both of their team. And with KD and Kyrie, with Joe Harris, with Ben Simmons coming back, there's going to need to be a line drawn in the sand. At the end of the day, the Nets organization is going to need to recognize that. If KD wants Kyrie to be a part of this championship team, then inevitably he will be a part of the team.
So that's the interesting piece here. And I want to bring Wendy back. And I go, Chinne Agumake has gotten up with us early this morning as well. Chinne, thank you, as always, here for the draft and tons to do. But, Jay, I'll come back to you on that quickly because you say they see each other, and I apologize for the voice, they see each other as equals. That's all well and good. But as of this moment, they don't get to make all the decisions here, right? The Nets have to be willing to give Kyrie the supermax or run the risk that he will decide he has better options. Are they willing to give him what he wants beyond just him opting in for one more year?
Well, like I said, the conversation becomes different. If you're not willing to give him that, then you have to be willing to part ways with Kevin Durant. And the question is if the Brooklyn Nets want to go back to a rebuild. And right now they're so close to winning a championship. Do you take your lumps and do you say for the next 2 years, if this is our window, then we're gonna be all in with KD and Kyrie?
I understand why you say that, and I bring Chinne in on this. They did get swept in the first round of the playoffs last year, but I understand in theory they would have Ben Simmons. In theory, they will have a full year of all these guys together. So, and Vegas does agree with you that they are that close to a championship. Chinne, how do you see it? If you're making the decisions in Brooklyn right now, how are you playing it with Kyrie and, I guess, KD along the way as well?
I would hope for a short-term deal for Kyrie Irving based on how the last few years have played out. And there has to be a little realism knowing that this is the push to win a championship in the short term. But, you know, I'm a player as well. And so I know I personally would push for a long-term deal. But the best case scenario for the Brooklyn Nets is to see how this big three plays. And let's be real, this is a big three that has the potential to be the best in the East. You've got the best scorer, that's a seven-footer in Kevin Durant. You've got Ben Simmons, probably the most versatile defender in the NBA. He needs a defensive player of the year if he's locked in. And then you've got Kyrie Irving, the most clutch performer possibly, you know, of the last few years as a guard, undersized guard. And so I would hope to see this on the floor for 1 year before you have that decision to potentially part ways with Kyrie and KD.
So, Wendy, you and I were talking this morning before the show. The deadline for Kyrie to opt in to the final year of his deal is June 29th. If he were to really want to make this thing interesting, what might he do?
There's a very, very exclusive restaurant in Los Angeles, Greeny. It's a rooftop restaurant in Brentwood, and it's at LeBron James' house. And last summer, when DeMar DeRozan and Damian Lillard and eventually Russell Westbrook met with LeBron as the Lakers were considering their big move, the move was to come and meet with LeBron at his rooftop, which sometimes makes its way onto social media. The Nets feel obviously some level of comfort about their position. But there is a concern in Brooklyn that Kyrie, because he's not a conventional thinker, Kyrie could be, you know, inventive enough to leave the money on the table to go play with the Lakers and reunite with LeBron. But he would really have to rattle the saber there. And so I think it would take something, some sort of story or photo or some sort of leak that would ratchet up the pressure on Brooklyn. Because at the end of the day, Kyrie knows that the Nets have caved to him before. He has stared them down and gotten what he's wanted before. The Nets are attempting to reset that scenario because they feel they've got leverage in this situation by getting a contract that they want. Kyrie now has to grapple with that. So the real concern, he's not going to go play in Milwaukee for the mid-level. I don't even know if he'd go play in New York for the mid-level. But going to play with LeBron and the Lakers for the mid-level, you can't rule that out. So he'd have to twist that possibility to make the Nets sweat, and that would take some sort of action to, you know, create that that feeling.
Oh, I love it. And Chinee, I could tell you loved it as well. What if next week we got a picture of LeBron and Kyrie drinking red wine on LeBron's roof in Brentwood? Now what?
I'm telling you, you can't, like, make this up. But the crazy thing is, this is kind of titillating. As someone that currently plays for a Los Angeles sports team, like, literally, I played 2 days ago for the Sparks. Mm-hmm. This is something that actually seems, you know, they might be desperate enough to say that this is a piece that could actually work for us, meaning they really need that guard leadership. They need someone that, you know, doesn't put mileage on LeBron. They need someone that can score, you know, from the 1-2 position. This is something that I think the Lakers fandom would actually might want to run it back. And more so, basketball fans, aren't we nostalgic? We love the ideas of, you know, people reuniting after going away for some time, saying, hey, bro, I know we didn't see eye to eye, but finally we're back here together and we can try to make this fairy tale ending of winning a championship in one of the most storied franchises ever. That's the part that, yeah, that will make the Brooklyn Nets sweat, because at the end of the day, as basketball fans, these are things that we love to see, even though the likelihood of that is a little sus.
Why do you look so skeptical?
Well, no, I'm not skeptical, because I think this is all a great scheme. See, because you guys act like players aren't on the same page about them getting the most money. Uh-huh. So if I'm KD, if I'm Kyrie, I'm like, if I do want to play into the whole Brian Windhorst thing, Chinee, right? I'm saying, okay, cool. KD, look, this is how this is going to go. I'm going to go out to L.A. I'm going to have a picture with LeBron. Let's have him red wine. I'm going to get the deal, because everybody in the world knows that KD is one of the most competitive dudes on the planet. Can you imagine the size of the knife that you would take out of KD's back if Kyrie were to go to LA to play with LeBron James? Would be sizable. Like, it would blow up everything.
Right.
So if you're going to do that, play it the right way. Get your money all for them to be back in Brooklyn, where it all began in the first place. Because trust me, at the end of the day, KD wants Kyrie to be happy. If Kyrie is happy, that means he's bought in. If Kyrie's not happy, that means he could be volatile. If there's anything, you don't want more volatility on a team that is so close to getting over the hump.
You don't want it. I love everything about
system.
Them. Wendy, put a ribbon on. We have more on this as we go, but for the moment, put a ribbon on it for me, Wendy. Go.
I would almost tell you, in the history of the NBA, that I can't think of another player who would legitimately leave $30 million on the table and leave Kevin Durant to go to Los Angeles. But Kyrie Irving is one of the most unpredictable and unexplainable players, and that wild card creates uncertainty here. Otherwise, this is an academic situation, but with Kyrie, it's never academic.
All right, everyone stay where you are. At KJM, across the hall, ESPN Radio every morning. You're the man. Thank you very much. I got to get to the controversy from last night. If you're just joining us, a Game 4 Stanley Cup Final, it ends in controversy, enormous controversy. This is the game-winning goal by Kadri in the overtime. It gives the Avalanche a 3-2 win. It gives them a 3-1 lead in the series. But it clearly comes with an extra man on the ice. And after the game was over, the Tampa Bay coach was clearly frustrated. Listen.
This one's going to sting much more than others, just because I think it was taken on. It was potentially, I don't know. It's hard for me. This is going to be hard for me to speak. I'm going to have to speak. I'll speak with you tomorrow. You're going to see what I mean when you see the winning goal. And my heart breaks for the players, because we probably still should be playing.
To be clear, it's not reviewable. The NHL said they talked to all four on-ice officials, and none of them saw the extra man on the ice. But you're going to right now. PK Subban, as we show them the tape, clearly there's an extra man on the ice.
Yeah, there's an extra guy out there. Obviously, this is extremely frustrating for the Tampa Bay Lightning with their season dwindling now. This is tough. In overtime, you want this game to end with no controversy, but it always seems in the Stanley Cup playoffs there's always a little bit. I think on this play, I don't think the extra man really affects the play. But if you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan or one of these players, you're going for three cups. This one puts you in a position to be 3-1 going back to Colorado. I mean, that's a tough mountain for them to climb now. They got to win three straight to win this series. This is a backbreaker for Tampa.
I mean, at the end of the day, I have to pin you down here. Should the goal have counted or not? There's a lot of people watching our show who don't watch hockey every single night. Should this goal have counted or not?
Listen, when I was in the Stanley Cup final, we're playing Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. Game one, I score the first goal of the series. It gets called back on a toe, possibly being off of the ice on an offside call. It affected game one. We ended up losing. We ended up losing in six games. That's the Stanley Cup final. This is hockey. Things are going to happen. It's never going to be perfect. With Tampa, it's tough. When you look back at this game, you had the lead going, you know, in the third period. You blow the lead, obviously 2-2. You lose in overtime. Anything can happen. I think this is a good goal. I mean, you know, it's going to be broken down. If you're a Tampa Bay Lightning fan, you're going to be upset about it. But I think this is a good goal. I mean, if it was a play where a player had stepped on the ice and had touched the puck, and it was a position where they had an advantage. I don't see any advantage in this play, but there were six guys on the ice, so I get the argument.
Fair enough. I don't know if it's the right answer or the wrong answer, but it's an answer, and I like it. That said, we have seen the Lightning. They're two-time defending champions. Mm-hmm. We have seen them come from behind repeatedly. Can they do it down 3-1 in this final?
I think this is Colorado series to lose now. You're up 3-1. This is a team, I don't even know if they've ever lost three games all year in a row. So to do that in the playoffs, right now they have a ton of confidence. They can smell it. Their first Stanley Cup in a long time is right there for them. They can do it at home. They can have a couple chances to do it. If you're Colorado, you want to get this thing over with. You don't want to give them any breathing room. I can tell you this, if Tampa goes into Colorado and wins the next game, I still think Colorado, it's their series to lose. I'm picking Colorado. I got to say, I don't see them losing this series now.
Again, they would have to lose three straight for it to happen. We'll see if they can close it tomorrow night. The trophy will be in. The cup will be in the building. Cup in the building tomorrow night. With the Avs up 3-1, looking to close it out for their first cup since 2001. Our coverage begins 8 Eastern on ABC and on ESPN+. All right, as we continue. How about this decision? Lamar, Burrow, head-to-head, who you got? And what if your answer is neither? I'll explain next. Let's get up on ESPN. Chris Canty with us here on Get Up this morning. Let's play a game of put up or shut up. Canty, what does Justin Herbert need to put up this season?
Get up to the playoffs, G. I think this is very, very simple. You're already on your second head coach. Everybody's talking about how you're a top 5-7 quarterback in the National Football League. Yet when you had a chance in week 18 to get it done against a division rival, you came up short. So Justin Herbert, understand the assignment. Get the team to the playoff. You have no excuse. That roster is loaded.
Boy, do I disagree with that. Just put a bookmark next to that one. I'm coming back. Meanwhile, what does Tua need to put up this season?
Prove he's not the worst quarterback in the AFC East. I mean, outside of Josh Allen, are we sold on any of those guys, any of those signal callers? I'm not. And so the organization went out and took a big swing on Tyreek Hill. Now is the time for Tua to step up and live up to the top 5 draft billing. Because remember, Chris Greer, once upon a time, passed on the guy you just talked about, Justin Herbert, in order to draft Tua.
All right. And then finally, what does Kyler Murray need to put up this season?
Kyler Murray needs to win a playoff game. Listen, there's been incremental improvement out in the desert every single year he's been there. But if you're caping for a contract that's going to pay you over $40 million on average annual value, you got to have some playoff wins to come behind that. The Arizona Cardinals don't have to play him for 3 more years. So in order for them to feel comfortable giving him that deal, he's got to return that with winning a playoff game, which is what that organization's after.
Okay, fair enough. And with a thought here on all these young quarterbacks, I wanted to spin it to something else here, which will sort of take us where we were looking to go. And that is Dan Orlovsky on Tuesday tweeting out, what are you calling him now, Dan Orlistsky?
Orlistsky.
He likes putting out these lists. And he put out a list of his top 5 quarterbacks, 25 or younger. He had Burrow 1, Lamar Jackson 2, Herbert 3, Trevor Lawrence 4, Mac Jones 5. And so the assignment here for each of you guys was tell us who you would have picked out of all these quarterbacks if you could choose one of them to start a franchise with. But I'll tell you in advance. Everybody said Joe Burrow, which I find fascinating. So, Cindy, you can put him up there. Burrow, Burrow, Burrow. I found that fascinating. Let's start with your guy, Rob Ninkovich. You were the one who never stopped raving about Lamar Jackson on the show. At one point, you thought he was just as good as Patrick Mahomes. So why are you starting a franchise? Yeah, Greeny says you're all wrong. Why are you starting a franchise? And again, I don't want this to look like I'm down on Joe Burrow. He just took him to the freaking Super Bowl, for crying out loud.
How they do you, though. You
but know? But what happened to your Lamar Jackson love? What happened, Ninko?
Listen, I love Lamar. I love him to death. But listen, I'm thinking longevity here. I'm thinking franchise. If you're going to start a franchise, you don't want 3-4 years. You want 10, 15 years. And now with the style of play and how they're protecting quarterbacks, Joe Burrow could play a long time. And, yes, I know he had a freak knee injury. But think about where he's at now. Gets the Cincinnati Bengals to a Super Bowl. I love Lamar, but Lamar takes a lot of hits. We know his style of play. He's going to run the football. He's going to take unnecessary contact. So Joe Burrow, in my eyes, is your prototypical pocket-style quarterback who's going to limit the type of hits. Hopefully his offensive line does that this year. But I really think Joe Burrow's the guy for longevity purposes.
Okay, fair enough. Limit the hits. He got sacked 62,000 times last year, but that's
the thing, right?
Go ahead, Graziano.
That's the thing. I mean, you can love more than one player. Like, I'm a huge Lamar Jackson fan, but you have to make a pick here. I took Burrow. We've seen Burrow overcome adversity and win. We've seen a guy get sacked 9 times in a playoff game and still win the game. Like, that's something as great as Lamar Jackson is, we haven't seen it, right? I mean, they have not had that kind of playoff success. They haven't had that kind of success when things have gone wrong. So looking for a tiebreaker, if I have to pick between Joe Burrow and Lamar Jackson, I'm fine having the number 2 pick in that particular draft. But if I have the number 1 pick, this would be the guy I'd go.
Yeah, to echo Dan's sentiments, Joe Burrow's had to overcome a lot, and the Cincinnati Bengals might be chief among them. You're talking about a franchise that hadn't won a playoff game, Greeny, in over 30 years.
Yeah.
And in his second full year as a starter, his first full season, because his rookie year was cut short, he took him to the Super Bowl. So that, to me, is the most impressive part about it. The Bengals needed an agent for change, and Joe Burrow has got that thing turned around in short order. And beyond that, Greeny, there's just that belief that this team can compete at a high level because they have Joe Burrow under center. Going into Arrowhead Stadium and winning in the playoffs on your way to the Super Bowl, that speaks volumes about the confidence that he has his teammates playing with, and that's why I give him the edge over all of those other young
quarterbacks. Fair enough. And look, I want to make it very clear. I think Burrow is spectacular. I think Lamar Jackson is spectacular. But my choice would be Justin Herbert, and I'll give you 2 reasons why. One, he plays 17 road games a year. He plays without a home field advantage at any point and overcomes that. Two, his own coach doesn't know you can punt. His own coach is not aware that on fourth down you were not obligated to go for it. You're talking about them not making the playoffs last year. The coach gave that game away the last week against the Raiders. That was one of the most astonishingly terrible coaching jobs I've seen in the NFL in a very long time. Herbert has overcome unimaginable obstacles, I think, to put up historically good numbers in 2 seasons, Graziano, and I think he's ready to take that next step and be the MVP of the league.
Then great, let's see it. I think that would be a lot of fun, but he hasn't overcome them because he hasn't been to the playoffs yet. He's weathered it, right? But they haven't accomplished anything yet since he's been there. So he looks fantastic. I could watch Justin Herbert throw the deep ball all day. He converted like 6 4-downs in that game you're talking about. Wasn't on him that they didn't win it, but proof's in the pudding. Burrow is in the Super Bowl.
All right, fair enough. I can't argue with that. We'll come back to this as we continue here. I'm just getting a little fired up as we roll along. Speaking of fired up, you watching the Yankees play baseball these days?
Oh, yeah.
Holy smoke. Canty, watch this. 4th inning. Yankees are down 3-0, but that's not a problem because they've got Aaron Judge. And that's the first pitch of that at bat, and it is crushed. That's his 26th home run of the year. The Yankees get it to 3-1. Now they're down 4-2 in the 7th. And here comes Judge again. And Canty, second verse, same as the first. Take a look at the big fella send this one out for number 27.
I mean, most people don't drive to work that far like he hit that baseball. It's unbelievable what Aaron Judge is doing right
now. He's on pace. He's on pace. Graziano, he's on pace to hit 64 home runs. A top of 8 now. Runner on Jose Trevino. The Yankees are the best team in baseball because they just keep doing things like that. He drops the bat in celebration because he knows that immediately Yankees come all the way back and they beat the Rays by a 5-4 score. In the month of June, the Yankees are 17-3.
which is tied with the Braves for the best record in the majors this month. They're on pace now for 119 wins. Bear in mind, the record is 116 for any season in Major League history. And also, we have another College World Series elimination game today. A place in the finals against Oklahoma is on the line. As Ole Miss takes on Arkansas, that's 4 Eastern on ESPN2 and on the ESPN app. Meanwhile, as you have most likely already heard, we had terribly sad news out of the NFL yesterday. Longtime defensive tackle Tony Siragusa has died. He was known as the Goose. He was known for playing 12 NFL seasons, the first 7 with the Colts, the last 5 with the Ravens. He was, of course, a member of that legendary 2000 Ravens defense, which gave up a total of just 1 offensive touchdown in 4 playoff games on their way to claiming the franchise's first Super Bowl. He was equally well known for his huge personality. He became a sports media fixture after retiring from football. He was a sideline reporter for Fox for years. Tony Siragusa was only 55 years old.